until their work is done. Someday the path he chose for me will all be understood. Heaven's clear line I'll see, all things worked out for good, all things worked out for good.
Those are good hymns, aren't they? Turn first of all to Genesis chapter 50. That just read through the whole story again today and just began writing down scriptures that instantly came to mind. Just scripture after scripture. And I actually wrote them in the margin of my Bible to go along with each verse. And I will mention several of them tonight. You may want to do the same thing for future reference. But even singing that song, speaking of the future, how we'll know that all things worked out for good. Genesis chapter 50, it made me think of this verse right here. In chapter 50, verse 20. As for you, this is Joseph speaking to his brethren, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. That's a great verse, isn't it? You thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. All things work out for good. The good of God's people. All right, go back to the Genesis 37. Now, let me just remind you why we're doing this study and why we study the Old Testament Scriptures. Seeing you know these things before, but let me remind you. Number one, it's God's Word. It's God's Word. And this is what the Lord preached from. Wouldn't you have loved to heard the Lord preach on the story of Joseph and the kinsman redeemer and so on and so forth? It's what the apostles preach from. The Old Testament reveals the true Christ as opposed to another Jesus. He hasn't changed. Scripture says, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. Same Christ prophesied in the Old Testament Scripture is the one who came. And the reason so many people have another Jesus and have missed the true Christ is they didn't see Him as He was revealed or prophesied in the Old Testament. You understand that? It's vital. He hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. I've brought it to your attention before that in Malachi 3, right before the New Testament was written, God, one of the last things He said was, I am the Lord, I change not. And then He didn't speak for 400 years. So He hadn't changed when He came. Another reason we preach from the Old Testament is it strengthens our faith. When we see these pictures, as we're going to look at this one, so clearly reveal Christ. And our faith is in the Word of God. Our faith is 100% in the Word of God. We don't live by sight, we live by faith. In what? What God has promised. What God has written. And as we see these things so clearly reveal Christ, I mean, every line, it's so amazing and so wonderful. And we can't help but say, this is God's Word, without a doubt. And the Christ who came is truly the Christ. And another reason why we preach from the Old Testament is, the world is not. The the world does not. And so many of you who came up through religion may have heard various stories from the Old Testament, such as Noah's Ark and so on and so forth. But they were just moral stories, weren't they? You may have heard the story of Ruth.
But you sure didn't hear about Boaz, the kinsman redeemer.
All you heard about was Ruth's faithfulness and how she entreated me not to leave this. And Abraham's faith and so on and so forth. But you, oh, blessed are you. The Father has revealed Christ to you from the Old Testament Scripture. And just as the Lord preached in parables, and the people didn't understand, and the disciples said, "Why are you preaching in parables?" He said, "Because it's not given unto them, but to you it's given." He said, "Now I'm going to tell you what it means." And that's exactly why we preach from the Old Testament. Are you with me? We preach these old stories that the world thinks are out of date and have no use. They don't see anything in them. We see glory. Ask me what portion of God's Word I could do without, and I can't think of one. Can you? Would you like to throw away Genesis? Exodus? All right, let's get into the story. This is Sam. The title is "The Beloved Son Betrayed and Slain." The beloved son betrayed and slain. Joseph is the well-beloved son. It says in verse 2, "These are the generations of Jacob." The Lord is going to talk about Jacob. But he only mentions one son. He only mentions one name. That's interesting, isn't it? All of God's people. And we're going to see how that Jacob represents God the Father. All of God's sons are found in one son. The only begotten, well-beloved son. Joseph. Why is Joseph mentioned? Because Joseph is really the only legitimate son of Jacob. Until Benjamin came along. You know? Who was Jacob's rightful wife? Who was the wife that God gave to Jacob? Rachel. But he was tricked into marrying Leah, you know, all that. And verse 2 says Joseph was 17 years old, feeding the flock with his brethren. The lad was with the sons of Bilhah, sons of Zilpah. These are concubines. These sons of Jacob are all a bunch of illegitimate children. Jacob had one, well, he had two. Benjamin was born later. Jacob was the firstborn, truly, son of Joseph, was the firstborn, true son of Jacob. And God Almighty has one son, one only begotten. And it says, now, verse 3, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. He's the well-beloved son. The well-beloved, legitimate son. And people, we are illegitimate children until God Almighty adopts us and gives us new birth, right? All of us sons of Jacob are not consumed, we're going to see, because we've got a Joseph. All right, it says, he was with his brethren, and he brought unto his father their evil report. Well, we're in Proverbs 8, you don't have to turn, but you can jot this down beside that passage. Proverbs 8, which speaks of Christ, who is wisdom. It says that in verse 3, he was a son of his old age, and he was with his brethren, and he brought unto his father their evil report. In Proverbs 8, it says this concerning Christ in prophecy. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. That Joseph was the son of his old age. It says of Christ in Proverbs, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, before ever the earth was. He went on to say in verse 30 of Proverbs, I was by him as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight. Yes, God loved Christ from the beginning. And God loves Christ truly more than all his children. Is that all right? purity. He's the only truly lovely one. And the Lord, well, Israel distinguished Joseph above the rest of his sons, verse 3, by making him a coat of many colors. Now, what does that represent? That's the righteousness of Christ. In Isaiah 42, God says He's well pleased for His righteousness. That's the multifaceted character of our Lord, the riches, the beauties, the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ, the distinguishing character of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice there, I about left this out. It says that He brought unto His father their evil report. In Psalm 14, it says, the Lord looked down from heaven to see that there were any that did understand. Well, God actually did come down to this earth, Christ, to see if there were any that did understand. All gone aside. All together become unbound. That's what He saw when He came and brought back the Father this evil report. He saw that there was no man, no Savior, and His right hand and His holy arm have brought Him salvation. Us salvation. All right, verse 4. It says, when His brethren saw that their father loved Him more than all His brethren, they hated Him and could not speak peaceably unto Him. I do want you to turn to this, John 15. You might want to mark the Gospel of John, because nearly every, well, so many references are found in the Gospel of John. But John 15, look at verse 25. The Lord, now it said back there, when His brethren saw that their father loved Him more than all His brothers and brethren, they hated Him. And it says in John 15, 25, this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated Me without a cause. Why did they hate Christ? Why did they hate Christ? Well, without a cause. There was no cause found in Him. The cause of their hatred was found in Him. And these evil, illegitimate brethren of Joseph, there was nothing in Joseph to make them hate Him. All right, I'll go back to the text. And Joseph dreamed a dream. And hold John. And he told it his brethren, they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. Behold, your sheaves stood round about, made obeisance to Me. That is, they bowed down to My sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? They said, we will not have this man reign over us. And our Lord said over in John 8, listen to this, our Lord said, And our Lord is truly the revealer of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is the revealer of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The revealer of dreams, that's what Joseph ended up being. And all things came from our Lord, who is the Word. And it says in John 8, He says in verse 45, because I tell you the truth, you believe Me not. If I say the truth, why do you not believe? And what Joseph said came from God, didn't it? A dream. I'm from God. And he said the dream, what the dream meant was that they would bow down to him. Does that remind you of any verse? Philippians 2, verse 10, unto him every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Well, verse 8 and 9, his brethren said, shalt thou indeed reign over us and have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more. And he dreamed another dream and told it his brethren. He said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance. Everything made obeisance to Me. Everything would bow down to Me. And it said of Christ in Colossians 1 that by Him were all things created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He's before all things, and by Him all things consist. He's the head of all things. He must have the preeminent. And there it says the father, Jacob, rebuked him. Now, all types, you've heard me quote my pastor by saying that no type can walk on four legs, meaning that you can't make every type fit perfectly. That's why there's so many in the Scripture. It takes so many to tell the whole story, the whole counsel of God. Nevertheless, it was told the father that he and his mother and everybody would bow down to Joseph. In verse 11, it says his brethren envied him. That is, they were jealous of him. But his father, now he may have rebuked him at first, but then he started thinking, good boy. He's never lied yet. Must be something to this. Must be something to this. And I immediately thought of Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1, verse 8, which says, unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever. Even God Almighty bows to his Son. Oh yeah, the story of David when he anointed Solomon. Remember that? It says David bowed himself on his bed to the new king. See, he thought it not robbery. Philippians 2:6. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And that's what it says here. Joseph being told this in a dream. All right. And all of this came to pass, didn't it? Now, if a dreamer of dreams or a prophet tells something that doesn't come to pass, he's a false prophet. But if it comes to pass, he's the prophet. And all that Joseph said came to pass, didn't it? Everything that he said happened. And everything, Christ said, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one word of mine shall fail. He is that prophet. That prophet. Who reveals the prophet. Not one word. All right, here's the beloved son sent by the father to his brethren. Verse 12. His brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to them, here am I. And that's what it says over in John chapter 5. Listen to this. John chapter 5. And all through the Gospel of John, Christ says of himself, the Father has sent me. Him who the Father hath sent. The sent one. I quit counting after dozens of times. But it said he was the sent one. All the way through the Gospel, especially the Gospel of John. It says in John 5, verse 23, that all men... Now listen, the Father sent Jacob. I mean, sent Joseph, didn't he? Jacob sent Joseph. Father sent his well-beloved son down to see about his other son, his brethren. Now, they should have honored the son because the father sent him, shouldn't they? Even if they didn't like the son, it was the father that sent him, so they should have received him. Listen to this. All men should honor the son, even as they honor the father. He that honoreth not the son, honoreth not the father which hath sent him. And our Lord said this in another place. He said, why do you not believe me? Because God's not your father. That's why. You're of your father, the devil. He said, if you knew my father, you'd know me. If you knew me, you'd know my father. And the same can be said of millions today. They don't honor the son. They pretend they honor the father. But Christ deserves as much honor as God the Father does. He's the sent one, the Word made flesh, to dwell among them. Well, verse 14, he said, here am I. And the father said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks. The father sent the son to see about the brethren and take care of the flocks. Christ is the good shepherd. Christ is the great shepherd. Christ is the chief shepherd. He came to his brethren. And he came to his flock. And he says, bring me word again. Come back to me. Well, Joseph didn't come back for a while, did he? But he did see him again. All right, so he sent him out of the veil. Came out of a veil. The seat of the sun. And he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him. Now let's read on. Behold, he was wandering in the field, out in the wilderness. A man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" He said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flock." I don't know who this man represents, except to say that he could... When the Lord first came, what happened to him? Where did he go? When the Lord first appeared as an adult, what happened to him? He went out in the wilderness to face a man. Right? Who was tempted by Satan for 40 days, 40 nights. Could represent that. Well, verse 17, the man said, "They are departed hence." And I heard them say, "Let us go to Dothan." And Joseph went after his brethren. And he's bound and determined to find his brethren. Is he going to find them? Oh, he found them. They weren't looking for him. They hated him. They weren't looking for him. They weren't asking for him. But it was of the mercy of the Father that the well-beloved Son was come to see about them. And he found them. And Christ said that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And then Christ comes and finds all of his lost sheep. He finds them. Verse 18. When they saw him afar off, even before he came near, they conspired against him to slay him. Listen to this. This is Stephen's message in Acts 7. Listen to this. This is amazing. It says, before he came, they conspired against him to slay him. Stephen preached to which of the prophets have your fathers not persecuted? He said, "You've slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one." Did you hear that? These brethren said, it said of them, before he came near, they conspired to kill him. And Stephen preached about Christ, said, "Which of the prophets have your fathers not persecuted? And you've slain them." Why? Because they showed before the coming of the just one. Men have hated Christ before he came and conspired against it. And if you want to jot this down, Jeremiah 11, verse 9, is a great passage that tells of that conspiracy. Jeremiah 11, 9. Well, they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh." And men mocked the Lord in his capacity as teacher, didn't they? Master. When they were calling him master, they didn't mean that. They said it in mockery, didn't they? In jest. Good master. They didn't think he was much more than a carpenter, did they? "Here comes this dreamer," they said. "Come now, let's slay him. Cast him into some pit, and we'll say some evil beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dream." Reuben heard it. Reuben intervened. Read on. "And he delivered him out of their hands and said, 'Let us not kill him.' Reuben said, 'Shed no blood. Cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness. Lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again.'" And Reuben here, I think, represents several people. The Holy Spirit intervened quite often when men sought to take Christ. And before it was his time. I love all of those stories that when there were crowds, lynch mobs were out to get him. And it says there was a big crowd of people, and he's one man. And they went to lay hold of him, and it says he passed through the midst. I mean, this happened several times. The Holy Spirit gave the angel, or the Lord gave the angels charge over him. And it wasn't his time. They weren't going to touch him before it was his time. Neither can anything or anyone touch you before it's time. The Holy Spirit intervened when they sought to take Christ. And I also think he represents Nicodemus, who Remember, Nicodemus spoke up one time. Shall our law condemn a man before hearing? Nicodemus, as you know, was a closet disciple. He came out of the closet. You can't stay a closet disciple and be a true disciple. He came out of the closet later on and owned the body of the Lord Jesus Christ before all. Pilate. Do you remember when Pilate sought to release him? In the end, Pilate, he said, I find no fault in this man. But it wasn't to be. It wasn't to be. Joseph must be, as it were, slain. Joseph must appear to be slain. Blood must be shed that he might reign and rule for the redemption, for the salvation of the sons of Jacob. It must happen in due time. It had to happen, as we read there. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to be the Savior of much people. Much people. Well, verse 23, it says, it came to pass. When Joseph was come unto his brethren, they stripped Joseph out of his coat. His coat of many colors. It was on him. Took him, cast him into a pit, empty pit, no water. And they stripped him of his coat. Literally, they stripped the Lord Jesus Christ of his robe, which he wore, of his clothes. He was naked. And that's on the cross, naked. But a greater picture of this, a greater picture. God Almighty stripped the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's tree of his righteousness and put that load on his feet and put their sin on his feet. That's what happened. You know, remember, Marcus, how was the Lord in the garden? What did he have to do to close with his name? Kill a lamb. The Lord was literally rent with violence. God has made him his sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. God stripped Christ of his own. Yeah, they with wicked hands took and put Joseph in the pit. And we with wicked hands took and crucified the Lord of Lords, but we did what God determined for us. There's a great story over in the book of Numbers, I believe it is. Just write it down. I think it's Numbers. How this one, where God killed Aaron. You might know that little bit. I can't say it. Don't look at that. God killed Aaron. Story of the horror that went on before us. God Almighty took the high priest upon that mountain. He took his hand. He took those robes. They're going to be what a picture of it. Well, they put him in a pit. Put Joseph in a pit. The pit was empty. No water in it. That is, he was thirsty. Put him down there with no water. Our Lord hung on Calvary's tree, and he cried, I thirst. And it says they sat down to eat bread. While he's in this pit. You remember back in chapter 42, Sunday, where it says that they, when they became convicted, he said, we verily are guilty concerning our brethren. We saw the anguish of his soul when he was caught up, and we would not hear. Christ hung on the cross, cried seven sayings on the cross while they mocked him. Seven most glorious sayings ever uttered, ever heard by human beings. And they mocked him. Seven sayings that framed up salvation, and they mocked him. Do not hear. Maybe we will appear. We will not hear the gospel. They will. They will. They'll hear it.
down in the tree. He said, sit him down. And watch. We have a whole, we are a company of fishing class. Here in another, well, the field of here, something like that. All they have are form of God. You see, none of these guys, none of these people are part of any kind of party. Who's the just one in this whole world? Huh? Reuben. If Reuben was of any count at all, he'd have lived his life. and the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ was presented to the Father, not by us, but by Christ Himself. He Himself took that bloody robe, and God accepted it as well. Well, in verse 34, when Jacob rent his clothes, he said to please the Father's will. Do you think that God acted such a great pleasure in giving His Son suffering down? God is the merciful, gracious, kind, long-suffering, tender, compassionate, and so forth. Did it touch Him? Did it rend His heart to have good of His Son? Sure. Sure. But when it says, please the Lord to prove, it doesn't mean He took pleasure from that. And it says, the Lord takes no pleasure from the death of the wicked. It must be done. But it pleased the Lord to bruise him in this sense. It pleased God to make you His people. It was in the pleasure of the Lord to make us His people. And it required the death of His Son. It required substitution. God took no pleasure, but rather was hurt by the death of His Son. But it must be done. It must be done. And it says in verse 36, Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of the Pharaoh, and captain of the guard. He went into Egypt, and there he would be until he became governor. God has made this same Jesus whom we have crucified, both Lord and Christ, governor. The increase of His kingdom, there's no end. His government, no end. And the officer in charge of the house is over here. Well, the next message we want to look at is the altogether lovely son, a goodly person, a well-favored son of justice. In chapter 39, we'll look at what we're doing next week tonight. We'll pray that. We'll have all the rest of the word. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your well-loved only begotten Son, now here for a month to know your Son today. Do thank the Lord. Thou art the Lord. Change it not. We are not consumed. Because of your love, you set upon the Son today. Because of the blood of righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. For we have not begun to enter into covenant. May we come back. Before we leave this life, may we rejoice the joy of the people in salvation. Know that you will send your Son to do what you do for the life of us. And we thank you as much as lives in us. Christ's name, the well of the Son. Here it is. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.